God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather around your word this morning. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you'll bless the service today. Lord, help our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we'll be open to receive what you have in store for us. Be with us today, Lord, as we study these things out. Grant it now, Lord, we ask in your name. So we're making our way through Hebrews 13, and we're on Hebrews 13, verse 9. We got a little bit past this last Sunday, but I'm just going to backtrack just briefly and just to meditate on some of these verses where Paul is saying, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Now think about what he's saying here, the heart be established with grace, not with meats. Now see, he's comparing the inside and the outside here. Not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And then, you know, we kind of looked at last time, last week, how that and the Hebrew rituals of the Old Testament were to make sure that to compare the different kind of meats that you can, don't eat something that was offered to an idol, don't eat this, and separate the clean and the unclean food and all that kind of thing. They've got all the rituals for the meats that you would eat. But he's saying, what's going to help you, the inside? What's going to help your heart? And, you know, you think as you study these things out that there's meat for the soul and there's meat for the flesh. And you can be so concerned about the meat for the flesh and that you're trying to clean up the outside, take care of the outside thing, that you're not concerned about what's going to benefit the inside. I was thinking about in John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and after he got done talking to her, his disciples came up and they said, Master, we got some food for you. Master, eat. They had gone to get some food, and he said, I've got food that you don't know. I've got meat that you don't know anything about. And so there we can see, and of course, if you go on and study that out, the meat that he was talking about was to do the will of the Father, and of course, his will is found in his word. So you've got meat that can benefit your soul, that can clean up your soul, change your soul, and meet things on the external. I think that kind of goes along with exactly what Brother Andrew was preaching yesterday, that there's a fire of God and that can clean up the inside. Let's worry about the inside. There's a lot of things you get so concerned with the things on the outside that like last time we were illustrating with Cain bringing his fruits first. You try to satisfy God's word and so forth with the fruits, with the works first, and that's just not the right pattern. But if you do like Abel and try to get the soul right, get the inside right, then the outside will naturally take care of itself. Get the inside right. And those are the things that Jesus was talking about when he preached to the Pharisees. These are things we're all familiar with. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, that you're like whited sepulchres. The outside's taken care of, but on the inside, it's like a real pretty garden. Now the outside's pretty. There's the grave is painted, but on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness, or like a cup or a platter that on the outside it's nice and clean, but on the inside it's like, who would want to drink out of that? That's nasty, full of ravenous and wickedness. So again, what Paul's talking about is there's meat for the inside and there's meat for the outside. Don't be so concerned about the outside. Get the inside taken care of. Clean the inside. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. It's the heart that's the problem. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. See, if you try to tackle that from the outside, well, I'm not going to tell a lie today. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm going to try to keep myself. But your inside is still cankered, it's still messed up, then eventually it's going to work itself out. These are the things which defile a man, Jesus said, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. In other words, he's saying, don't focus so much on the external. It's not eating something with unclean hands that will defile you, but what will defile you is that rotten, cankered inside that can only be fed by the meat of the Word of God. Now, that's what Paul's point is. There's meat for the inside and meat for the outside. Let's be concerned with the meat for the inside. And that's why we're all gathered here this morning, is we want some meat. We want some good old gospel food that'll feed our soul and change our soul. And Romans chapter 2, he said, for he is not a Jew. Paul's laying this out. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. The outward is not the thing that makes you a good Christian or Jew or whatever. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. That was the Old Testament way, trying to satisfy things by the works of the law, trying to do and keep all the commandments. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Amen. Now, in Hebrews 13:10, Paul says, this verse is a little bit hard to kind of wrap our minds around, but let's meditate on this. We've got an altar. We've got an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. That Old Testament tabernacle, I've got a picture here of, they bring their sacrifice, and they lay their sacrifice up on that altar. And now the priest had the right, if it was a peace offering, a different kind of rule, peace, if it was a peace offering, the breast is mine and the right thigh is mine. And he could take that, grab the hook and grab some of that food off. And that was his to eat. And you could eat off of that sacrifice that was brought to the altar. Now, so Paul's saying, we've got an altar. Now, they don't have any right to eat of this altar that we're talking about. Now, in the Old Testament, they could eat off that Old Testament altar. But now we've got a New Testament altar. Now, I just want to change gears for a second and point out that Brother Branham would always use this scripture whenever he preached his life story. So let's read the scripture that he would read before he preached his life story. We've got an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Think about why Brother Branham would use this scripture as he preached his life story. That his whole message was to feed us, to give us something that we could eat of that they didn't have access to if they were looking at it from a legalistic standpoint. But we've got some real eagle food that they don't have a right to eat. We've got something that we're going beyond the camp of man's ideas and the camp of our own idea, the denominational system. We're going outside of the camp to get this food. He said, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now I think that's the theme of pretty much what Brother Branham's whole ministry was about, to take us beyond the camp to get some food that you couldn't eat if you're looking at it from a legalistic standpoint, trying to satisfy the works. But this food is for our soul, to change our soul, to build up our faith. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And there's the priest doing the rites where the sacrifice is being brought, and he's got a right to take some of the animal for his food to eat of the sacrifice. Now, eating is partaking, and we'll just labor this just for a moment. In Revelation chapter 2, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that I overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. Amen. And Proverbs chapter 9 says, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. And Isaiah 55 says, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy my wine and milk without honey and without price. So we've got an altar where they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. What is the altar? The altar is where the sacrifice is made. And where the sacrifice, where our sacrifice is made, is on the cross. So what this means is, if you continue to adhere to that legalistic way of thinking, or trying to satisfy the outside man by serving the tabernacle, you don't have access to the spiritual benefits. You don't have a right to eat of this new covenant. And you can probably see where I'm going with my lesson. We're eating the body word of the flesh of the Son of Man. That's the altar that we're eating at. And when you eat from that, then you've got access to these benefits. You've got access to these New Testament benefits that they had no access to in the Old Testament. The New Testament gives you access to these benefits. What kind of benefits? You've got a guide to the truth. You've got a comforter. You've got the Holy Ghost as your teacher. You've got power to overcome and live a holy life. You've got when you need to go in prayer, you've got a helper. Like in Romans chapter 8, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We've got somebody that will help bear our burdens. We've got a seal that seals us in and seals the Holy Ghost in, seals God in our soul, and seals the devil out. And it will produce fruit in our life. And those are the benefits that come from eating off of this New Testament altar. The eating, the body word of the sacrifice that died for us, that they can't eat from if you're still looking from an Old Testament viewpoint or a viewpoint of works. We'll say it like that. So what we're really getting at is in John chapter 6, verse 53, this little sermon that Jesus gave to the ones that were still with him, that so many people have pondered at. And even today in a lot of denominational viewpoints like Roman Catholicism, they're looking at this totally in a carnal way and unable to understand what Jesus was saying here. But when he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. I was thinking this morning that, you know, after Zach received the new birth, and he had that dream one night where he was sitting in front of that buffet table, and it was like, you know, he was being told you can just eat and eat and eat. And that's what we're doing when you open up your Bible, when you come to church, you've got access to this altar where you can eat of this, you can eat of all these spiritual promises, because we're eating of the body word of the Son of Man, and we're eating and eating, and it's changing us. As you eat, it changes your nature, it changes the way you think, it changes everything about you, so that you don't even look at the world the same way again. You don't look at the problem. You eat from the book of Job, and you won't look at the problems in your life the same way anymore, because you realize that God's in control and God's over everything, and it changes things. That's what the word is. It's actually changing the way that we look at things. Now look at Hebrews 13 verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Now here he's kind of putting a story in our mind. If you want this word, you got to go beyond your own thinking. You got to go outside the camp of your ideas and outside the camp of your thinking, outside the camp of maybe what the norm is of religion and all the denominational ideas. You got to step outside of that camp to go get this food. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Oh, isn't it worth it? It's worth all the reproach, all the mocking, to go with him, to follow that sacrifice outside the camp. Because that's where he was. He died, was outside of the city gates. And we've got this scripture in Leviticus that kind of talks about how the sacrifice was the bullock for the sin offering. They took it outside of the camp to burn this fire, the skins and the flesh and so forth, just like how Jesus was taken outside of the city gates. And you can see the map there of the city of Jerusalem. It's really hard to see there, but there in the upper left is where Golgotha was. So they took him down the streets and mocking him and making fun of him all through the city till they got outside of the gate. And that's where they put him up on the cross and laughed at him and mocked him. And that's the same way with your Christian experience. You got to go outside of the camp. And Brother Bram said, in going beyond the camp, he said, let us go beyond the camp now. Let us go beyond our own thinking. Amen. Let us go by the thinking of God. And the Bible said this, let the mind that was in Christ be in you. So let us think his thoughts, not our own thinking, because most of the time we're wrong. So to be sure, let his mind rest in us. And his mind was to do the Father's will, and the Father's will is his promised word. I just got a couple of circles here that shows the big camp. But to go outside of that camp where the sacrifice is, typified by this little cross there, and you're going outside of that, outside of the way that you think and everybody else thinks, outside of that, and going beyond the camp, Brother Branham said, I know there is some reason that people are not getting through to Christ. If they would, they wouldn't act like that. So what he's saying is that if we get the inside changed, by going, being willing to go outside of the camp and get that spiritual food off that altar that we've got access to, that will change us and sanctify us and clean us up. He said Jesus suffered without the gates that he might sanctify his people with his own blood. Sanctification comes from a Greek word compound, which means clean and set aside for service. And when God cleans his people with the blood of Jesus, he cleans them from the filth of the world and sets them aside for service. Aren't you glad for a promise like that this morning, that God can clean you up and make you live a real Christian life? Scour you up with the baptism of fire by the Holy Ghost and clean you up so you can live a holy life. And that's what going outside the gates does to follow Christ. And going out beyond the camp, he said, let us go beyond the camp tonight, Lord, and find you. I've got a picture here just of like a man leaving a denominational church. Like, Brother Ram would explain that Exodus is going out, and then going in too. But first, you got to go beyond the camp. You got to leave those old ideas and so forth.
Amen.
And, if you really think what happened in that Exodus, when the children of Israel left, first they escaped the tyrant of Pharaoh and all of his oppression. But then they come to the Mount Sinai, where Moses went up to bring the tables of stone down to deliver them from themselves. If we go beyond the camp of all that denominational system and the way that people think, but if we then keep going beyond the camp to be delivered from your own will and from your own ideas, and that's what this message does. It changes everything. We'll never find him by joining the church. We'll never find him by shaking hands with some minister or signing some creed or something that we promise. All of those things are external. To go to Sunday school so many days out of the year and so forth, we'll only find him in the Word, because he is the Word.
Yes, sir.
And as we see this day promised that he would be outside the camp, put out again, now let us go beyond the camp, ready to bear his reproach, hated of this world, but loved of the one who has invited us to the camp.
Amen.
There's another quote where Brother Branham said, if there be those here who doesn't know him, and has never went beyond the camp of some church affiliation, yet you profess to be a Christian. But when you say these things, I believe is for another day, that shows it cannot be the Holy Spirit. How can a man that's filled with the Holy Ghost ever be baptized using the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? When Paul, the great apostle, said, if an angel comes from heaven, you might have done it one time not knowing any different. Those people did it not knowing different in Acts 19, but said an angel preaches anything different, let it be accursed. How can you accept some creed or some ism, some something another, when the Bible said the promise is unto you? This same thing, the real baptism of the Holy Spirit. How can the Holy Spirit that wrote the word be in you denying the word? How can it deny when the very Holy Spirit itself said, if any person shall add one word to this or take anything from it, I'll take his part out of the book of life. How can the Holy Spirit then take anything from the Word or add anything to the Word? We got to go beyond the camp to find Jesus, to get to that Word that will change our heart.
Amen.
It seems today, Brother Ram said, to be a day of when people are going beyond the camp and everything they're going beyond. You know, I was told some time ago that they had a jet plane now that can make them noises we hear around here that shakes the windows. It's when the plane has got so fast that it crosses its own sound called sound barrier. And when it goes beyond its own sound barrier, it's almost unlimited to what it'll do. Now, see what he's kind of getting our mind framed up. If we go beyond the way that we think and the way all the world religious system, we start breaking past that unbelief barrier, breaking into a world where a realm where anything is possible.
Right.
Anything is possible. He said, I think in there that we get a lesson when we go beyond our own sound barrier into the Word of God, then it's unlimited what God can do with a man that's ready to go beyond the camp of man that it is. And you can see what I'm illustrating here is we're going past all of these things that we're going into a realm that will change our bodies, change the molecular structure of our bodies, change the way that we think. Brother Brown, and I'm going to close on this. In the message, Perseverance, he talked about those angels that appeared just before the seals were revealed, and that one of them, that he said the one on the right had its wings turned back. And if you really look, as an aircraft approaches the speed of sound, it sweeping the wings back actually helps to delay the formation of shock waves so that it can break past that sound barrier. And that he's tying that with going beyond the camp. And Brother Ram said, in going beyond the camp, he said, so notice he rebuked them and they put him out of their camp. Jesus suffered without the camp. They put him out of the camp, outside, way beyond their camp. We find out that the Bible said in this last day, under this Laodicean age, they would do the same thing. They would be put out of the camp. And there you've got the picture of the Son of Man, the Word that we're eating of, the body Word, outside of the door, knocking on the door, because he's been put out of the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. And there's that analogy again of eating. If you'll just open up the door of your heart, he'll come in, and you can eat with the Word, eat with Christ. And we'll just stop there. God bless you, saints.